The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let the house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
How many of you went shopping on Black Friday? Isn't Black Friday an interesting thing? It actually happened on Friday, but what happens right now is that they sneak it up even earlier. It used to be at the midnight on Thursday, and then they would move it into earlier hours of Friday morning. And then before you know it, this year it was at 6 o'clock right after you ate. People ate and they ran shopping. I mean, it's just like we can't wait for those deals. We can't wait until we save money and we see people coming out of Kmart or whatever it is with these big TVs and these big, you know, items. And some of them even fight over these things. And you get so excited because they can't wait. Well, honestly, I have to have a confession to make. I'm kind of like that myself, because when my kids were young, we used to celebrate Christmas on Christmas. And then it became Christmas Eve. Yeah, and then after a while, it was just after you had the dinner on Christmas Eve that we opened the gifts and all that. So I can understand the waiting because of the impatience. And that, you know, kind of makes me understand what the impatience is today when Matthew is writing to these people. He's writing the Gospel of Matthew around 80 to 85 AD after the death of Christ. And so the events that he's discussing are about 50 years already in the past. And so people are wondering and worrying and they're getting nervous about Jesus' coming because they were waiting for his immediate return. And so when he didn't show up, in those times they started to get nervous. And so some of the scholars believe that the Gospels themselves were written to try to calm the nerves of the people, try to give them something to hold on to. But also Matthew, following Mark and now Luke, he puts this particular apocalyptic writing in there that teaches the people that you still have to wait, because if you're not waiting, you might miss the second coming that Jesus comes. And so you have to stay awake. You have to watch. You have to be prepared. And so I say to myself, well, now here's almost 2,000 years later, and here we are. And we're waiting. We're still waiting. And I wonder what kind of impact the waiting has done on us. I feel perhaps that the words of Matthew may end up falling on deaf ears. Because now we don't know really what to wait for. We don't know how to wait. And so the readings today are trying to get us to think about what are we waiting for? And the gospel uses particular examples. It says there were two women, one was working and then one was taken, and there were two people in one place and one was taken. Let me give you a modern example of where maybe perhaps this idea of waiting and Christ's coming can be understood in a more modern sense. For instance, two colleagues are working together, one gets cancer, the other doesn't. Two boys are going to school, one ends up being a drug addict, the other doesn't. Two people get married, one ends up being divorced, the other doesn't. We're not disenfranchised by surprise or by things that happen in our life. We know that we have horrible experiences that happen in our life. So that is not something that's new for us. It's how we cope with them. It's how we wrestle with them. It's how we understand them. And so when I look at the Gospel of Matthew, I say to myself, I'm not so concerned about Jesus' return, although I am, really. You know, I get everybody else. But anyway, the point is not so much that Jesus is going to come, but the anxiety of waiting. We really don't know how to wait. In modern-day society, waiting is the most difficult thing for us to do. We're very impatient. We cannot stand to wait. God forbid the train is late two minutes. God forbid the guy didn't bake the bread on time. God forbid the steak is not done. What are we going to do? And so dealing with waiting is something that is very essential to who we are and what we become in our lives. Because as we wait, we are formed. As we wait, we are shaped. As we wait, we learn to pay attention to life in its own rhythm. There's two things that happen. There's a passive waiting and there's an active waiting. The passive waiting is just living your life and waiting for things to happen to you. You know, good things or bad things. The active kind of waiting is when you look into the depth of your experience. You look into the events of what's happening in your life and you pay attention and you see and try to understand what clues are being given to me, what life is being offered to me, what claims are being made on me in these moments. Because life has a claim on you, but you're too busy to listen or to respond. And so we miss the miracles of life. We miss the encounters with God. We miss the encounters with each other because we're too busy waiting. And we're waiting and not responding. We're waiting passively and not waiting actively. And so the gospel today is trying to get us to think maybe Jesus hasn't come in the sense that we may expect him to come, but he comes in moments when we don't expect him. We've got to learn to tune in to what it means to be attuned to God's presence and God's gift and God's reality in our lives. And so the gospel today is trying to get us to begin to think of where are you being shaped in your life? You know, when we talk about religious formation, we talk about getting people to begin learning how to think religiously, read religious things, practice prayers, do things so that they can begin to feel part of a community, but also pick up a habit of worship and a habit of life. But waiting is that essential part as well. Because waiting is opening our eyes to the mysteries and wonders that are all around us. And those that see respond. Those that understand can feel connected. Those that pay attention live their lives. And today the gospel is asking us to do that. But where do we do that? Where do we come to be awakened? Where do we come to be shaped? Where do we come to at least experience the God that is among us? We come here. I hope we come here for that. A lot of people, when they're hurt and they're suffering or whatever, say, stay away from church. And that to me is the most unheard of thing. Why not come and bring your pain so that we can love you? Why not come with your brokenness so we can help heal you? Why not come with your alone so we can lift you up? Why not come around so we can just gather around you and support you in your journey as you're going through this? But people stay away and they say, what does it mean for you to go to church then? If you don't come when you're feeling the worst, or when you're feeling the least. So we come here. We come to church to embrace each other, to help each other see the Christ and to see the reality of life that's being offered us. We come together to lift each other up as we go through these moments in our lives. We come together to get a glimpse of God, even though it may be a bad time in our life, to know that God is in every situation, but we have to open our eyes to see. We talked about a wonderful prayer on Tuesday night that says, earth is crammed with heaven. Every bush is aflame with God. But only she who sees takes off her shoes. You see, there are miracles all around us, but we don't see because we're so caught up in the rapidity of our life, in the boredom of our life, in the strictness of our life, in the plainness of our lives, because we don't demand more. We don't look for more. We're not open for more. We do not want to be disturbed. We do not want to be mudged or moved from where we are in our lives. But when circumstances come, a sickness or a brokenness or a loss of something, we wake up for a moment, just for a moment, and then we want to go back to sleep. Maybe the gospel has to be like that gnat that bothers you. And every time you fall asleep, it comes by and goes, around your ear to wake you up. You ever hear that? You ever try to fall? That's a wonderful image used in philosophy where Plato is talking about he's a gadfly, and most of us are falling asleep. It's a wonderful afternoon. You just had a delicious lunch, and you're just beginning to fall asleep. And then you hear that, and you say, oh, no. It's going to go away. You do it again. And you say, I'm going to get that sucker. And so you get up, and you do anything you can to kill that one. You see, this is the gospel message. Don't fall asleep. It's so easy for us to let go and become numb, to let the life dictate to us, to let things happen passively. What Jesus is calling is for action and for response, for responsible life and living with each other and what we do. And the Advent is not about just Jesus coming. It's about you recognizing that the whole year is before you. that you have your whole life before you, that you have things to do, that life doesn't have to always be the same, that you don't always have to do the same thing or think the same way or act the same way. How many of us do that? We get up and it's the same old day and it's the same old habit and it's the same old people next to me. Why not see it differently? Why not look to see what's new, what's different, what's unique about that person or about the situations in our lives? And then we become awakened. And I tell you, once you become awake, you see more things. Because your eyes are awake. You can now see and experience things that you were not privy to because you didn't see it before. And so Jesus is telling us, stay awake. Look. Pay attention. Any moment. If the owner of the house had known when the thief was going to come, he would have been up and he protected his house. What does that mean? Sickness will come to us before we know it. Death will be around the corner for many of us. You know, we're going to have a loss here or there. But how do you prepare for that? Here. And how we engage each other here, on how we do the simple things of every day, how we share a meal together, how we hold each other in moments of sadness, how we walk together in moments of confusion and loneliness. This is where we learn it. This is where we experience it. This is where we get a hint of God and a hint of the mystery of the wonder that's there. Maybe we'd rather sleep. Maybe we'd rather just be left alone. And that would be enough. But as long as God loves you, he will keep you awake. As long as God loves you, he's going to nag you and badger you to wake up. Because your life is too precious to just let go or be determined and defined by routines and by what circumstances you're in. You are greater than the circumstances you are in. You have the miracle given to you of God's mind and soul and heart and spirit to overcome whatever is given in your life. And this is something you have to accept and realize, that you are more than. You can be greater than your circumstances. You can rise above. And you can reflect the glory of God in all that you do. This is why the Advent season is such a fun and wonderful season, because it tells us to wake up. You know, New Year's is going to be around the corner, right? We're all going to make our promises. No more chocolate. Right? No more steak. You know, and I say to myself, yeah, can you do a little better than that? You know? How about a little criticism? Give that up. How about a little negativism? Give that up. How about a little bit more discipline? Read more. Pray more. Lift more. Hang out with people. Call those people you haven't called in a while. Call your mother. Reach out to each other. Do something that's different. And start a whole new energy and a whole new reality and a whole new creative relationship that awaits you. You're only limited by your faith. You're only limited by your questions and your own desires. And Jesus says, there's so much there. There's so much potential there. There's so much greatness there. There's so much beauty there. There's so much beauty all around us. Don't fall asleep. Don't let go. And don't be, accustomed to what you get in life. Demand more. Be more. God has given you the okay to do that. The world is not going to do that. The world is going to tell you, you know, if you don't have this degree, or if you don't have this kind of pedigree, or if you don't have this kind of company, you're not going to be with us. But that's not what the gospel says. Gospel says, you are mine. And I will bless you, and I will keep you, and I will make you the head and not the tail, and I will lead you forward, and I will be your God, and I will lift you up in every moment, and I will save you from whatever depths you find yourself in, because you belong to me. You are mine, purchased with my love, and with my soul, and with everything I have. This is the God who loves you. This is the God who asks you to rise up and become all that you can be, and live truly and authentically. It is hard and it is dangerous to be real in this world. But no other life was worth it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.